Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. December the 14th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. It's definitely chilly. We're still winter. Still cold, right? No change. Got up this morning and went for a nice walk. Listened to some music while I walked. I probably maybe did a mile and a half, 2 miles, just to keep, you know, everything moving. Haven't been able to paddle. I was supposed to paddle yesterday. Had a pre-arranged appointment to have a tooth pulled yesterday. So I had to take care of that. That is a fucking rock that I've been dragging around for the last couple months. And I'm glad to have had that taken care of. I don't have to worry about that anymore. A couple years ago, I went through the holiday season with a bad tooth. It's probably been 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 4 years ago. And something happened to a tooth, one of these back teeth of mine, and I couldn't get it fixed. And the guy's like, "You're going to have to get that pulled." And I was like, "Oh my God." And this was like October, and they literally couldn't see me until January the 2nd. So I went through October, November, and December in pain. And I mean, like, really, like, pretty good pain. And, you know, as a recovering addict, right, as a person that actually changed his sobriety date because of pain pills, you know, I would not take pain pills for it. I mean, I'd take Advil and you know, Tylenol, but nothing, you know, with any real big effect. So this tooth had a filling fell out of the backside of it. You know, I'm one of these kids that grew up in the 80s. All my fillings are all silver, right? They're all shit. I think I used to say I bought my dentist his second Porsche, right? He was pimping in the Porsche. But these fillings, they just fall out. And so I'm always jealous. Like, these kids today, they get these fillings, and it's just white, whatever it is, and it looks perfect, and their teeth are perfect. My teeth look like they'd been hit with buckshot. So... but had a filling fall out. It's been a couple months now, and it didn't hurt, right? It wasn't a lot of pain to it, but I could tell, like, don't eat over there. Don't mess around over there, because you could create pain. And I went to the dentist to get it looked at. I think I was getting my teeth cleaned, and he's like, "Yeah, that one's going to be an issue." So I said, "I'm going to pull it out." And they made the appointment. The appointment was for yesterday. And I've been thinking about it, right? It's not... up until the last time I got a tooth pulled, if I needed a tooth pulled, I always seemed to be, like, put to sleep, right? I just, I couldn't, right? Oh, I can't. It's horrible, right? And so, but now that I pay for my teeth, now that I'm the one that takes care of that, now that I'm the guy that pays for that extra anesthesia, I'm like, forget it, you know? And the last time I had to get the tooth pulled, I was in so much pain, I was begging them, please, pull it out. Oh my God, this is horrible. But this tooth did not hurt. But I could tell there was a situation up there in the top corner. And so I had scheduled to get this tooth pulled, and yesterday was the day. And I'd, you know, it's so funny. I've been thinking about it, right? It's this rock I've been dragging around. And, you know, I was cool with it. I was fine. I'm like, you know, I'm not going to feel it. It'll be fine. And then as the day came closer and closer, and then finally arrived, you know, yesterday, I was like, no big deal. Driving up to Dover yesterday, I was like, it's, you know, whatever, it's fine. But man, when he, because I got three shots, you know, two in the one side and then one shot in the roof of my mouth. That shot doesn't feel good, right? And so, and actually when he gave me the shot on the outside, I feel like he stuffed it right into my skull bone. I feel like he bent his damn needle on my skull bone. I heard it crash into something, but it all became numb. And the guy was really good. I could not do that job. I could not do that job where you just are unfortunately hurting people, right? Not on purpose, right? Not on purpose, but this guy was really good. He explained everything and, you know, and started doing the work and got the tooth out, and it was gnarly, right? It was, there are some things. First of all, how grateful we are that we live in the time that we do, because I can't imagine having that done 100 years ago, right? Or 200 years ago, when, you know, there wasn't anesthesia and there wasn't, you know, things to numb it and the good tools, right? It's like that Castaway. Remember when Tom Hanks bangs the freaking tooth out of his head with the damn stick? Yeah, that's how painful teeth are, and I don't think I'm telling anybody anything they didn't already know, but that, like, when I had the tooth problem a couple years back, it was brutal. I was like, please, pull this tooth out of my head, please. And but the guy did a great job. He got the tooth out. I survived. And, you know, it's just one more thing I don't have to freaking drag around today, right? The closet I'm stuck inside, can't see the light, and my heaven is a nice house in the sky, got central heating, and I'm alright, yeah, 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 can't see the light, keep it locked up inside, don't talk about it. Talk about the weather. Matthews this morning. So much to say. Great show, great concert, great live version. That's in Central Park, New York City. I saw that on, I don't remember what, maybe it was on MTV at one point, but that's a great show. If you ever want, it's definitely on YouTube, so go check it out if you're into Dave. I'm definitely into Dave. Dave, you know, interesting. I don't know if I mentioned this. You know, Dave has, Dave Matthews' band, right, has had some, several versions, right, where they lost the sax player, right, I think he was on ATV accident. They got that guy. And then they lost their violinist, and that was just on bad behavior, right, and I won't get into it. But I was watching the other day, and they had this woman come out and do the violin parts, and she was so good. Oh, my God. So she's out there if you want to go check her out. I hope they bring her into the band. She was awesome. That guy would be hard to replace, right? That guy was really good. Great personality, at least on stage. I didn't know him personally, but apparently he had a couple demons himself, so hopefully he'll get that figured out. But, yeah, I hope they do. I don't know what they've been doing up until then. I have a good friend that follows the band around. She loves Dave Matthews. I love Dave Matthews, but she will go and see him a few times in the summer. I have yet to ever see him live, so shame on me. But anyway, it is Thursday, so went to my, I have a few things going on. You know, first I want to say, you know, I listened to that podcast. You know, one of the things I check is, first of all, the music was really loud, so I apologize about that. But one of the things I said in that podcast yesterday or a couple of days ago was talking about that first step that I read, complete deflation, right? And I was saying that I never really had it. I did have it, right? I did have it. I just didn't have it in a way like, you know, what I was doing and my behavior was a big secret. Everybody knew. But the fact is that, you know, I always think of complete deflation as, you know, me getting my ass kicked, right? Non-voluntary complete deflation, right? That's what that was. I did not volunteer for that. But once it happened, there was complete deflation. And I have said that so many times in this podcast. You know, people will say, oh, you know, just tired of drinking, right? Just woke up one day and said, I've had enough. And I'm not going to say somebody's a liar, but I personally believe that that is not true. I don't think people wake up one day and say, listen, I am exhausted from lifting this vodka to my mouth, so I'm quitting. I think it takes complete deflation. And whether it is getting punched in the mouth, right in the mouth, right, like I did, or crashing a car, right? You know, like my buddy. Killing somebody, right? That happens. Losing our family, losing our job, right? I've told the story. There was a local guy, you know, high up in local government, and he grabbed a lady's, you know, breast at a Christmas party right around this time of year, right? Drunk and, you know, got a little handsy. And the next thing you know, he was arrested. And he came into a meeting that next day, right, just ready to surrender. And when he was absolutely embarrassed and ashamed, and his ego had been deflated. Ego deflation. And then he became willing, right? Then he became willing. But unfortunately, what happens is we get better and we get probation, right, or whatever it is, right? Because, you know, self's like shit. We got to take care of ourselves here. So they're going to do everything they can, right? And I see it all the time. It's just, it used to really bug me. Now I don't really care. You know, people coming in, writing down things. I'm going to write down. I'm so much better. I remember when I went to jail, I started journaling. I'm like, I'm better, right? And I started, you know, doing all the chronos and, you know, volunteering for things in jail so that, you know, we... And when I mean volunteer, like going to meetings, they used to offer meetings and stuff, and they weren't mandatory. And I did all that stuff, and I wanted to get sober. Really, I was just trying to lighten up my sentence. But, you know, it is what it is. And so we have those moments. And so I heard myself say that I'd never had that moment. And I really did have the moment. But I was just sort of thinking about this, you know, the secret, right? And I think about what it must have been like, you know, because back in those days, you know, if you were labeled an alcoholic, man, it was really bad, right? People would be like, oh, my God, that guy's an alcoholic. I'm sort of guessing. I've only taken this from stories, right, and seen things on TV. I obviously did not live back then, so I'm just assuming, right? But there's a reason why we're anonymous. There's a reason behind all this is because the... You know, the reputation that a person got that couldn't quit drinking, I'm sure, wasn't great, right? And so to come out and say, finally, yes, I'm an alcoholic. And I do think it's interesting that the first version of the first step, you know, complete deflation, is a little different than, you know, we admitted we are powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable, right? That's a big change. To be honest, I sort of like the first one better. Complete deflation, ego deflation, because that's pretty clear, right? That's pretty clear. But to admit we are powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable, I don't know. Maybe that's, I always say that was my first introduction to humility, right? To admit, we admit. I didn't admit anything. Self doesn't admit anything. Self wants to explain all the reasons that it isn't my fault, right? It's somebody else's fault. And to admit we are powerless, I am powerless over alcohol, that my life has become unmanageable, you know, was really my first introduction to humility and didn't even realize it. Yeah. So, I just wanted to, because I was like, yeah, that's not really true, Tom. You know, you actually did have an ego deflation. It was called a five-knuckle sandwich, right, to my mouth. And that knocked the devil right out of me. And luckily, the window opened up, you know, wide enough, right, to jump through and would begin the journey. It wouldn't be the last time I would drink, but it would definitely begin the journey to get me to where I am today. So, yeah, and then, so I want to talk about that. And then the other thing was, you know, I went to a meeting last night, it's interesting. The meeting, a lady shared great, she did a great job leading. I think the subject was basically, you know, what do you do? Not necessarily what do you do to stay sober, but what are the tools you use to sort of, I mean, stay sober, I guess, was the sort of the topic, but like, there's high and low moments, right? There's times where it's just easy to stay sober, and then there's other times where it gets really challenging. Doesn't mean we don't want to be sober. It just means maybe we, I don't know, to be honest. But nobody, you know, one of the things, and this is self getting back involved, you know, I always try to share when I go to a meeting, And then I'm like, well, I'm not going to share tonight, right? You always got to share something, Tom, right? You always got to, you know, have your two cents. And so I'm just not going to share tonight. Just let it stay. Just keep my mouth shut for the night and just listen. And it was an interesting meeting because, for one, no one ever talks about the steps. I swear, it's just, I think the biggest problem with recovery is, I know when I first did sobriety, my biggest problem was I never really did the steps correctly, right? And I don't know, if we can do the steps correctly early on in recovery because what the fuck do we know, right? I had to do the steps, go through everything I went through. Unfortunately, I had to use, not required, wouldn't recommend it, but that's what I did to finally get to a point, right? I never had, you know, and even like the first time, March 31st, 1997, when I got punched in the mouth, you know, it was embarrassing. It was, an inconvenience, right? And there were things that I could do that would become convenient to get me out of the situation of facing and handling the situation that I'd gotten into, right? It became convenient to admit I was an alcoholic. It became convenient to go into that hospital, right? I could go hide, right? Everything was really, the motivation wasn't about sobriety. It was about convenience and avoidance, right? Avoiding telling people what had happened to me one more time, right? And so the whole way I got started off in recovery, I think I got off on the wrong foot. I'm not saying that, you know, we should always try, right? I wouldn't change a thing. I wouldn't change anything. But the way that I got started off in the beginning was a little, you know, it was self-motivating. And so coming to this program and, you know, I had that outpatient program, but, you know, working the program, working the steps, but as always a person that had to, right? Always a person that had to. And it just changed my whole perspective and, you know, left me to be the person that I was so that when times got weird and times got strange, I went back to drinking, right? I didn't have the foundation of serenity and the recovery to... There wasn't any tools. People say, well, what tools do you use when you're struggling? And I go, when I'm fucking struggling, I am not looking to use tools. I'm looking to get high. That's what I'm struggling. The struggle is to continue to appear like I want to stay sober, but the reality is I want to get high or drunk, right? Whatever it is. And so it's just, When I, after being sober for 4 years or however long it was, and then went back out and drank and then lost everything, right? Lost everything and was out drinking that last night, right? Down at Irish Eyes, down on the canal with work people from work, and just embarrassing myself, right? Hitting on the women, whatever it was. Right. And just having this moment where, like, I didn't get punched in the mouth that night. Right. I didn't get into a car accident that night. I just had a moment of clarity and said, you know what? You're done. And made that call. And luckily that guy, Marvin L., came and picked me up. Marvin Lipscomb. He's gone. I just found out he died. Godspeed, Marvin. Love you. Love that guy. Drove 4.5 hours to come pick me up. That's a program guy right there. And that's what everybody kept saying last night. Well, you know, I work a program. What is a program? What does working a program mean? Working the steps, right? Working all the steps. I don't even really, you know, for me, it's weird that we say a program. This person's like, what do you do? What are the tools that you use to stay sober? And I'm like, the steps, right? The steps are here to keep us sober. Right. We work the steps, we learn about ourselves, and then we continue to work the steps, right? Just like I talked about that 10th step the other day. Continue to take personal inventory. And when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. My wife's calling, I'll call you back. I'm doing a podcast. But yeah, that's what that 10th step is. We continue to take personal inventory. What is it that got us to a place where we're thinking about drinking, right? What is it that got us to a place where we're getting consumed in self, right? I mean, I try to think, what would it be that I would lead me back to drinking? I don't know. But the 10th step allows us to take personal inventory all day, right? And when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And that also means, like, should I be hanging out at a bar, right? Should I be hanging out, you know, at a strip club, right? You know, people say, well, I'm going to quit drinking, so I'll just do all the things that I used to do, right? But I won't drink. That doesn't work, right? Unfortunately, to have sobriety and serenity, you really have to give up all of the shit that we used to do. I mean, first of all, if you're a drunk, who wants a sober guy hanging out with you, right? It's like, dude, get out of here. But, you know, to take personal inventory, that doesn't, I mean, that's with everything, right? Like, how did I handle that situation? Was that good? Should I have done differently? Can I make changes? Do I need to make an amends? Should I be hanging out at a bar even though I don't drink? Probably not, right? Continue to take personal inventory. Inventory in ourselves. The steps are the answer, right? We admitted we're powerless over alcohol. Our lives have become unmanageable, right? That already pretty much sets the tone. If it has to do with drinking, we probably should stay away from it, right? And then build a relationship with the higher power, moral inventory, telling all of our dirty secrets, right? Figuring out our shortcomings, figuring out our character defects, right? That's a lot of soul searching stuff right there up until that ninth step, right? Up until the ninth step, we're learning who we are. I am learning who I am, right? And I've said this before, this program taught me how to be a man. I had no idea. Steps 1 through 9 teach me how to be a man. And then the step 10, continue to take personal inventory. And when we were wrong, promptly admitted it, right? This is the step that we continue to evaluate everything we've done up until this point. I do. This is what I continue to evaluate. You know, when something comes up, what's playing a role in this? Is this self? What is self trying to get out of this? Is this ego, pride? What is it? You know, what am I mad about? What didn't I do? How do I become accountable for this? Am I being accountable at the moment? Right? If I'm at a bar, if I'm young and new and recovering, I'm hanging out at bars, I'm going to just have seltzers, right? And then all of a sudden shit goes down. Next thing you know, maybe we're not drinking, but we get into an altercation or we just get caught up in some dumb shit. You know, at some point we had to say, man, if I hadn't been there, right, I would have avoided all this. I have to be accountable. Accountability is king. But these steps are the solution. There's no other place to look. The steps are the answer. But nobody ever mentions that. I'm working my program. I got my sponsor. I mean, what's a program? The steps? Is that the steps you're working? Right? And I believe it. You know, I believe that people aren't really doing the steps very well, or they're doing them because they have to. They're coming in as a victim, right? That guy that came in from grabbing the lady's boob, I'm sure he came in as a victim, right? I can't believe, you know, sons of bitches, drank too much, whatever. No accountability. Accountability is where it starts. We have to be accountable. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Continue to figure out what role I play with this, and when I'm wrong, make amends. The 10th step is sort of that place. And then you have the 11th step, you know, meditation. And the 12th step, continue to work with it. After having the spiritual awakening due to this, the 12 steps of this program, we continue to work with another alcoholic. I know I didn't say that right, but we got the idea. And it's the same thing in the book that I was reading, the big book on page 259 or whatever it was. It says continue to work with other alcoholics. 10, 11, 12, right? You know, continue to take personal inventory, talk to God, and work with other alcoholics, right? That's it. There shouldn't be any other problems. If I've worked these steps correctly, if I use these steps in my life, I remember people used to say, what step are you working on, right? What step does that affect? You know, things that would happen in my life, what step is that, right? A lot of step, I shared this before, a lot of shit I go through, I do a 4-step on. You know, what's behind it? What's self want? What's self getting? How am I raising self up in this whole move, right? Fresh kicks, new car, you know, doing a trip, you know, whatever it is. You know, I talked about selling this house. We haven't sold it, but, you know, if we make some money, all of a sudden self starts getting a little jazz hands. And I have to remind myself, let me take personal inventory right now, because the reality is we ain't doing all that. That sounds like a lot of trouble. Why? Because I've done the same thing with smaller amounts, right? Whether you make a big amount of money or a small amount of money, anytime money would show up the same behavior, right? Maybe it's just in a smaller scale, but self gets wild, right? I continue to take personal inventory and recognize it and then say, we're not doing that, because I'm not going to be like, what happened to all your money? I don't know. I spent it. Why? I don't know. You do know. Take personal inventory. You have to watch yourself, right? And then, you know, you talk to your sponsor. You know, talk to your sponsor, work these steps, go to a lot of meetings. That's the answer. And nobody mentioned it. The meeting last night was a little, you know, it's my home group. We had a business meeting afterwards. There was some conversation. I didn't particularly find that great. A lot of personalities over principles. One of the things we do at this meeting is we stop at the halfway point. We let anybody with less than a year share. And I don't know why, right? You can share. If you have less than a year, you can share anytime. Why do we have to stop? And does it specifically block out a certain amount of time for people that have less than a year to share? I don't particularly care for that. It's personality over principles. People are like, well, you're not very nice. I am nice. I was told when I first came in the program, I had nothing to share. Shut up. That's what I was told. Sit the fuck down and shut up. You have nothing to share. When you get a year at your anniversary, you can share. I was like, you got it. And that's what I did. I sat down and I shut up. Now, I would sometimes, you know, raise my hand and say things. He didn't say you cannot share. But he was saying to me, if you think you have something important that's going to help this group, you shouldn't say it. And I exaggerate. But the reality was, just come to a meeting, Tom. Go to a meeting. Go to a meeting every day and just sit there and do it and listen. And I thought that was a fantastic idea. And that's how I've always felt it. But now, you know, these personalities, we got to give them a chance. Okay. But I don't know why. I don't know why we have to do that. And then there's a guy that's in the meeting. He's like, you know, and that. So we halfway through the meeting, we stop for anybody with less than a year that wants to share. Then there's a guy that's like, I see all you less than a year people. You know, you should be sharing. All of a sudden now his personality, he has an opinion on it. Now he's the under a year police. And now we have a whole thing. And this could be, you know, if somebody was less than a year that doesn't want to share and now feels obligated, may not come back to that meeting because of that. Personalities over principles. Nowhere does it say that we block out a special amount of time at 7:30 for the newcomer. That was somebody's great idea. And I talked to my sponsor about it this morning. He said, well, it was voted on. And it was. But we should have never brought it up. There should not be. This is the same. This is like raffling off books and sitting on pillows and having bagels and bringing special creamers to meetings. It's just, all is a setup to potentially turn somebody off or away from the meeting. Like if I had less than a year and I went to that meeting and I felt like at a halfway point, I'm going to have to say something because this one guy over there is now the freaking halfway point, less than a year guy. And he's going to point out people that have less than a year. I'd be like, I ain't going to that meeting. I don't really want to talk. I don't want to share. And now this guy's going to point me out and now I have to. And no. Could go that way. Right. So I was a little just annoyed about that. And I asked, well, we deal with that in April, right? It's like, whatever. I called my sponsor this morning. I'm like, I'm not going to any more business meetings. I don't want to, because it's all personalities, right? The other thing is that, I won't go too far into this, but GSO for some reason is not doing very well financially. And now GSO is asking meetings to contribute more donations, personal donations. And one of the guys said, you know, the principles are we split the, you know, when a meeting gets money, we split it three ways, GSO, GSR. I don't know the three-way split, but we split it up three ways and donate the money to those three things. And that's the principles. That was what's written by somebody in AA, right, and somebody in this organization. But now the GSO is asking us to make an exception and send extra money. And, you know, my personal feeling is like, okay, yeah, let's send them some extra money. That sounds like a great idea. It's Christmas, right? But my buddy next to me, and he was right. He's like, the principles are we split it three ways. Now, if the GSO wants to change the principles and say that from now on we're going to donate this much, then they should do that. And then as a group, we can say we can follow the principles, not our personalities, and we can do according to what is asked. But to personally, right, to make a decision to donate money because GSO is having trouble, why are they even having trouble? I don't know. Listen, I'm not going to get into that. I got frustrated last night. It was a weird kind of deal. And I don't want to be frustrated. I am grateful to be sober. And I love everybody that does work in behind the scenes. Listen, it's important. I get it. All right, listen. I just fucking threw up all over the microphone, right? All right, I apologize. I hope everyone's having a great day. It is Thursday, so enjoy Thursday. We got Friday and then the big weekend, and then Christmas is coming up. I appreciate you listening. I really do. For some reason, people are listening to this podcast, and I appreciate it. So thank you. I hope everyone has a great day, and we'll catch you later. Bye. I say my hair left the closet. I'm stuck inside. Can't see the light.